Good morning. I'm so honored to be here and blessed to be with you all on this Youth Sunday, and I'm so grateful for yet another opportunity to participate in worship this morning. As many of you know, I'm finishing up my senior year of high school. In fact, tomorrow I will be entering into my final week. As you all know, and what one day the youth and the children will learn, is that your senior year is filled with so many new and exciting opportunities. Opportunities that you don't just get in your other 3 years of high school. From attending your sporting events for the last time, to sending out your graduation announcements, this year is filled with so much joy that is unlike any other. As I'm finishing up, however, I'm able to really look back and reminisce on all the relationships, opportunities, and events that have not only helped shape who I am, but have made my 4 years of high school so memorable. One of the most, if not the most memorable event that I've had, that was graciously given to me, was the opportunity that I had to travel to the Holy Land of Israel this past summer. The Lord sent me, along with my mom, and 20 others from Episcopal, where we spent 10 days studying and exploring the land of Israel. As I go back and picture the country, there is one word that comes to mind that can describe it in its entirety: rocky. Israel is covered with rocks. Whether you're in the capital city of Jerusalem, or you're on a hike hiking Mount Carmel, rocks will be the foundation of each step that you take. As I read the scripture passage from Psalms this morning, I couldn't help but think back on my experience of hiking En Gedi. En Gedi was one of the most difficult hikes that we took because of all the rocks that surrounded us. In the passage, we read, "Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me." In Israel, our tour guide, Yoyakim, who we all grew to know and to love, read a scripture that connected to the location that we visited each day. So, while we were on our hike in En Gedi, we read the story of Saul chasing David found in 1 Samuel. David is being chased by King Saul, where in chapter 23, verse 29, it says, "David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En Gedi. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told that David was in the desert of En Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all of Israel and set out to look for David near the crags of the wild goats." David is running for his own life, hiding from Saul, longing for protection by using the rocks that surrounded him. I can only imagine how David felt. He probably felt uncertain, confused, and anxious while hiding. And just as David felt those emotions, so do we. And they may not come to us from hiding from a king in the desert, but in our own modern-day lives, those emotions come up a lot. Whether we're flipping through channels on television, yet to see another story that fills us with so many questions while we long for the right answers. Or we're waiting anxiously on the news that we've been praying and praying that you could hear, but still, nothing. Or we just simply get caught up in the busyness and fullness of life, and we have grown tired and weary. We too can relate to David with the hopes that somehow, in some way, we will find a sense of protection. However, how we can learn from David and how he responds to these emotions. David eventually shows up to Saul himself, where he starts speaking the good news of the Lord to him. Saul is astonished by this and says to David, "You are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just told me about the good that you did to me, and the Lord delivered me into your hands, and you did not kill me. May the Lord reward you well for the way that you have treated me today." Not only did David use the rocks that surrounded him for protection, but he trusted in God, his rock, knowing that he would provide as long as David remained faithful. In the times of uncertainty that we face, we are reminded of David and the ways that he used the literal rocks around him in Israel for protection, knowing that God would provide as his ultimate rock of safety. Another attribute to finishing high school is looking back and seeing the ways in which I have grown and learned from my own mistakes and my experiences. Not just in high school, but in life. There are moments of transition, moments of unexpectedness, and times when we feel as if we are being pulled in 1,000 different directions. It can be easy in those times to rely on things of this world as we long for something to fix our pain. For as long as I can remember, one of my favorite things to do has always been to watch movies. Whether I'm by myself, I'm with a group of my friends, or I'm actually in the theater, seeing a good film is something that I've always loved to do. One of my favorites is the film Good Will Hunting. The film is about a boy named Will who has a genius-level IQ, but he chooses to work as a janitor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. Will has the skill and the intellect to become something great, but makes decisions that lead him into a hole of confusion and uncertainty. One day, while he's cleaning the halls of the school, he stumbles upon a graduate-level math problem that is left on a chalkboard wall outside a classroom. He works the problem out with ease, revealing his potential for success, yet he's reluctant to act upon what he knows that he is capable of. One of the professors decides that he is going to help Will reach his maximum potential. Will agrees to get the help and the education he needs, with people around him supporting him. But it isn't until he willingly chooses to receive this help, despite his difficult situation, that he is able to reach success, build relationships, and find new opportunities to live each day as his best self. Will ultimately has a choice to make in how he wants to invest in his life. Will's past trauma and the residue of it hold him captive to a dead-end life. And it isn't until Will chooses to address the foundation of his life that he discovers passion and purpose. He redirects his actions, develops new relationships, and takes opportunities that help him reach his potential. In our text from 1 Peter, we read in verse 6, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." In every stone building, there is one stone that is always crucial. It is laid down first, and it has to ensure that the building is square and is stable. It's the rock where the entirety of the building rests. It's the cornerstone. A cornerstone marks a building's geographical location by orienting a building in a specific direction. Scripture describes Jesus as the chief cornerstone to our faith. If Jesus is our chief cornerstone, it means that Jesus ensures the stability of our own salvation. So, in all things, we are called to have Christ as our foundation in our lives. Christ as our cornerstone. But what does that really mean? Just like Will, we get caught up in what is right in front of us. We see anger, we see poverty, sorrow, brokenness, and hurt. And it can be easy to see all of those things and simply just give in to this world. We so often see the world and then we see Jesus behind it, when really, we should see Jesus and the world behind him. If we change our perspective on that brokenness, on the anger, the hurt, and the sorrow, understanding that God is still at work in and through it all, our lives will be so much more whole. If we, like Will, address the foundation of our lives, we can become more and more like Christ, knowing that he is anchored at our feet. That he is our cornerstone, living each path as a rock of protection, just like he did David in the rocks of En Gedi. We too can become examples of Christ living as true disciples each day. We also read in this text that it won't be easy. Not only does it say in 1 Peter that Jesus is this cornerstone that has become rejected by the builders, but in Psalms 118 we read that Jesus is that stone that the builders rejected. Again, in Matthew 21 it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone?'" Throughout scripture, we see that Jesus was and still is this cornerstone of our lives, but was still rejected by those around him. Jesus came into the world as a sign of God's radical love, and instead of embracing him for who he was, the crowd stumbled over him and ultimately nailed him to the cross. Just like Jesus, we are also told that we will experience this rejection. Verses 4 and 5 in the 1 Peter text tells us, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." We're told right here that we will become like stones, living as an example of the ultimate stone. But despite this rejection and the difficulty that we face, we remember the example of Christ set for us to embrace this rejection and continue to spread the good news of the gospel. Once again, going back to this idea of reflecting on this past year as a senior, I'm able to recall some of the most difficult times while I was on my journey. One of my main extracurriculars at Episcopal has been being a part of the student vestry, as well as participating in chapel band each week. The student vestry is a group of about 100 students that are broken into teams that take turns help leading worship each week. I served on a team during my freshman and sophomore years, but my junior and senior year looked a little bit different. As an upperclassman, you have the opportunity to take a higher leadership role serving on the vestry. In my junior year, I served as a team leader on the vestry, and this past year, I served as one of four senior wardens. As a senior warden, your job is to make sure that not just one team is in place, but making sure that each team is in order on top of your own responsibilities as a leader on the vestry. Then, being a member of the chapel band, I was on stage each week leading worship through song. It was a big responsibility, but was one that I enjoyed each and every opportunity that was given to me. However, there were some negative side effects to this. After chapel, occasionally, I would hear the occasional comment, "So, you only listen to worship music, right? So, you probably aren't going to know this song." Or, "Oh, we can't talk about this right now. We're with the Christian group." The comments continued and continued to get stacked up and piled and became so loud in my head. I had those moments, just like David and Engedi. I was filled with confusion and anxiety of wanting to be accepted by my peers at school. However, when I changed the thought about it, everything changed. Yes, being a part of the vestry led to some trouble, but it didn't compare to the joy that was given to me as a result of my participation. I developed some of the deepest relationships while serving on the vestry that have not only helped me grow as a person, but have strengthened my walk with Christ. Some of my teachers have served and turned into one of my biggest supporters and mentors, and some of my friendships are ones that will last a lifetime. I have made some wonderful memories that will stay with me forever. Looking back on my time on the vestry, I'm able to see how much God was working in my life, even when there were times when it did not feel that way. As we face times of rejection, anxiety, and despair, it's important to remember the promises that Christ reminds us of in Scripture. John chapter 16, verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Scripture tells us that trouble in this world is inevitable, and it will come no matter what in our lives. But it's how we respond to this trouble of confusion and anxiety that matters most. We're able to look to Jesus as our ultimate example. Jesus faced the most trouble of us all. He faced the rejection of his own people, which ultimately led to his death and crucifixion. But then we're able to read the good news of Christ tackling that death and rejection through the resurrection. He sets the ultimate example through his own resurrection, and that in the end, despite our troubles, he will provide for us because he is our rock and our true cornerstone. And if we choose to live by obeying Christ and trusting him, no matter the rejection we may face, we will then be seen as stones ourselves, shaped and molded through Christ in all we do and say. So as we go forward into this place, into our community, into our world, may we be reminded that no matter the trial, no matter the tragedy, the difficulty, or the rejection, we must always trust in Christ, our cornerstone. May we do this as we continue to share the love and joy of Jesus Christ in all we do and who all that we may meet. Amen.